Welcome to the Technori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. Today's show is sponsored by Salesforce. As you've heard in several shows before, we have been partners with Salesforce for a very long time. I would argue that Salesforce was what got Technori from an event company to a digital podcast, investment platform, largest platform in media for entrepreneurs in Chicago, simply because, obviously, great product, CRM, kind of necessary if you're going to grow a list of subscribers. But just the goodwill and the money, the partnership to enable us to sort of rotate from what we were doing to this. They have been one of the most loyal partners of us. They've also provided dozens of startup companies that pitched on stage at Technori with an awesome CRM. As it pertains to the show today, which is obviously a very good one on cybersecurity. I think you're probably going to listen to it. Axios, Scott Cannery, and Brendan Fitzpatrick talk about a million things as it comes to insurance for security and cyber breaches. But it just reinforces why using CRMs from companies like Salesforce is so important. You're investing in a CRM that has an infrastructure and security that is the best, that is relied upon by the biggest and best in tech. And that's why we use Salesforce, and you absolutely should too. Go to salesforce.com/technori and sign up for an SMB Essentials trial. If you're a mid-market, small-market company, there is simply no better partner in marketing than Salesforce. The conversation I had with Scott and with Brendan is way over my head. We were joking about the fact that I was invited to be a speaker at the cybersecurity conference in Chicago. And I was like, I walked away thinking, like, am I just the idiot that they invite me there because they knew that I would blindly talk about tech with exuberance and then they would poke holes in it after I left? And I left. So I really have no idea. That very well could have been the case. I guess I do know security from the standpoint of like what not to do, because I get to see companies make, you know, huge mistakes all the time. And it's kind of sad. Because I guess, I don't know, founders don't realize that if you want to do business with big companies, they all have to protect the data. And if you're not protecting the data, they can't work with you, which is just a small part of this conversation. The real larger conversation is, do you know what are the holes in what you do technology-wise, data-wise, that if went wrong would like literally bankrupt or shut your company down? And what are you doing to protect yourself from that? And I think the thing that makes Axios unique and why we had this conversation was that they don't take the approach that most tech cybersecurity companies do, which is to get in all technical and target the IT people. They actually target the CEOs and say, let me show you what this looks like from a business perspective. Let's look at this from a revenue perspective, and then we'll make our way back to how to technically set you up properly. Very interesting conversation. I learned a lot from it, and I think if you run a business, and it really doesn't matter. We talked about it from mining companies, and I don't mean blockchain, although that too. I mean like literally mining. Companies in construction, companies in education, across the gamut. We talked about all of them, and they all have kind of a different, you know, security risk profile. And I think, and almost anyone listening right now, if you work at a company like that, you work in tech, you will benefit from this conversation. So this is my conversation with the founder and CEO of Axios, Scott Cannery, and Brendan Fitzpatrick. This is one of those things where I always make the joke with insurance people that you can always use some good insurance, like the Groundhog Day guy. If you got some good insurance, you need some more good insurance and good insurance. It's everything is insurance. And in the security business and the world of tech we live in now, insurance is for people who the shit already hit the fan.
Right.
And in most industries and most things, you can't stop the accident. Right. But in tech, you can do a lot of things to avoid ever having the accident or avoid all of the different liabilities and things that you can have. Right. And it's like, you can always use more insurance as a line for like a fintech company that's just like, you know, making bad transactions and bad decisions. There is no replacement for being overprepared for a security breach. And I'd even go further as to say it's almost like a major offense to me when I see companies that are growing and scaling and they treat their data like I treat my dog's excrement. And it's just like in this random little bag with them, like they don't pay any attention to it. And so I think you guys are like in the perfect position, not only to talk about what companies can do going forward to do a better job,
right,
but understand the gigantic liabilities that they're carrying, even if they're insured and they're not doing the things that they're supposed to be doing per their insurance, which is common.
Right, right. Well, you know, and to set the record straight, I'm a recovering insurance person.
I don't know why I didn't even put that together, but that would make sense.
I was never an insurance guy.
Right.
Just to be clear, yeah, Brendan's clean.
We've got a good balance of folks. And to your point, you know,
any insurance... ACH payment people in the room?
No, thank God.
We avoid them. Lawyers? You're not a lawyer?
No, Scott is.
Oh, fuck, that's right. You were a lawyer.
I became a lawyer to defeat lawyers.
What is... How did this slip through the cracks?
Recovering insurance guy, became a lawyer to defeat lawyers and never practiced.
Will, I'll take you at your word and assume that you're a good fellow. Continue.
Thanks. I appreciate that. At least Brendan likes me, so I've got that going for me.
Chad likes you, too.
That's true.
There's a room full of people who like you. Yeah. I like you, so.
That's true. Okay,
do
cool.
Do continue.
So to your point, you know, insurance isn't a replacement for bad security. And yes, you can always find an insurance company to insure your dog's excrement. But, you know, at the end of the day, insurance does actually serve a unique purpose.
Sure.
You know, unlike any technological control that a company needs to have in place to prevent and detect events from happening, the insurance policy, and a well-done insurance policy, is the only thing that will actually pay for the cost of an event if you have one. And ultimately, it's just a better balance of all of the things that we help companies understand and then deploy. So, you know, you get to a point and you just think about the functionality of different buckets of things that are all related to cybersecurity. At a point, you can almost do more, and you go to the RSA conference and other security conferences where there's always folks that'll sell you more shiny objects and silver bullets. But if you're already doing a really, really good job from that standpoint, maybe, just maybe, it makes sense to spend your next dollar on an insurance contract in the event that something happens, because at the end of the day, that is the only thing, aside from cash in the bank and, you know, other financial instruments, that'll help you pay for the cost of an event, right?
Yeah.
So it's a holistic picture that's really important to achieve.
On the actual application side of this, though, I think that there is, I don't know, so many people come on the show and they talk about, and I agree with them, they talk about failure and that failure is better than success because you can learn from it, blah, blah. The problem is, in security, is that usually failure can be catastrophic. It's like, I'm glad that you learned Equifax. I'm glad that you learned from it, maybe. But most companies that are mid-size and lower cannot afford to learn from that. They need to learn from the big ones' mistakes, not from their own mistakes. And that is sort of the part where I think, you know, you guys have, you know, Axios has this gigantic potential. There's so many things you can get into. But the education component, I think, might be the most, at least in this stage, the most vital need that you can fill for all these companies. Because I really do think that there's a lot of companies right now flying blind, thinking that they're flying in instruments, but they're flying blind.
Well, their tech personnel, their cyber experts are telling them that they're good to go, right?
Sure.
So most of our cybersecurity professionals, at least in the United States, come from a tech background, right? And when we go through cyber training, we're taught these are the things you do. You have long passwords, you plug the holes in, you know, using firewalls and this and that. And we're never taught to align ourselves with the business and figure out where the critical assets of the business are and kind of prioritize those things, right? So one of the areas where I think we're having a lot of success, Scott, is helping the tech individuals speak business or learn to speak business. So not only is it, hey, boss, we've identified these five risks that are all red on my chart, which means nothing to a CFO or a CEO, we're putting a tool in their hands that they can quantify those risks and say, hey, boss, I've identified these 15 things. These three things here concern me. I did a little bit of calculation, and I think this is what it could cost to the bottom line. What do you want me to do? And now you're speaking their love language,
yeah,
which is financial terms, right?
No, I think that's it. We talked about that when we got drinks. It was a major disconnect, is that the CTO just typically is not a business person, and what they value and what the CEO values, and quite honestly, the liability that could cost the CEO their job a lot faster than it can cost you your job,
right,
is we're not hitting our numbers.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you get to the C-suite and you get to the board. You know, if it's a company with a board, you know, the status quo to date has been the CTO or CIO, whoever is, you know, going in, briefing the board. And to Brennan's point, they're putting up a heat map and you know, the briefing is, we're doing 80 things. On 60 of them, we're green. On 15 of them, we're yellow. And in 5 of them, we're red. And then here's all the backup detail. And immediately, as soon as you get into the technical jargon, you know, eyes are glossing over and the board falls back on this. Oh, my God, there's five things on the piece of paper. We need to turn those yellow immediately because that's just what they think. And, you know, you don't have the translation to the business. When in reality, there might be one of those yellow things, so to speak, that's actually that company's worst day or, you know, worst quarter event that now is being neglected because the board and the folks are saying we need to focus on the red. But by turning that type of report and that type of a perspective into here are the five things that could happen to us because of who we are and how we use technology, one of them would cost this, two of them would cost that, the third or the fourth would cost this, and the fifth, that's $100 million event or whatever the number is, that's going to ruin our quarter, ruin our year. Maybe if that $100 million event comes from one of those yellow things on the old heat map, it previously gets neglected. Now the folks can say, that's where we need to do something and invest more. What are we going to do? And now you've actually truly protected the business.
Give me an example for the people. And this, I don't even know if this question is targeted towards the C-level people or in some cases, the CTO and the IT people, because kind of to the point that Brendan made in the start of this is like, yeah, they don't understand business necessarily sometimes, but they're also just, it depends on how experienced they are. And they're the single source making decisions that can implicate anything, right?
Yeah.
What are, give me an example of, you know, we'll call it, I don't know what color skew you guys use, but let's say red is your deep shit. Yellow is less deep shit, and is it green as go? I don't know.
So like, it depends on the business, right? So a lot of times where kind of insurance and, you know, brokers are great folks, but sometimes where they fall down is that if you ask how much insurance you need to buy from your broker, they're going to look at your peers in the sector.
Yeah.
You know, this other company that does what you do, but that the has comp, the same revenue.
It, to the guy at the C level, the comp makes sense. To the guy in the actual operator, they're like, that's not remotely the same company.
You could
as
have
us.
Two pharmaceutical manufacturers that have completely different environments, right? So it depends on the company what's going to be a high level risk and what's not. And even if you have like a really sharp CISO or CTO that's kind of got an idea of what's going on, they also need to be calibrated to that business, right? So if you're speaking in these heat maps and the leadership doesn't understand it, there's no feedback to help you dial it in, right? It's like when your kids start tattling on each other, you know? It takes a little while to kind of calibrate them until they come to you with the right things. So, you know, once you start speaking to the leadership in terms that they understand, they can start to give you feedback and you can dial that in and get more appropriate what the red risk is, right? So I would say for a manufacturing company or a utility or even like a mining company, anything that has to do with availability, business interruption, right? Let's say you're dealing with a company that makes, you know, auto seats. If they're not able to put seats in the Mazda 3, they're losing money, right?
Yep.
If it's a company that deals in data or, you know, financial finance or, you know, like a consultant shop that mostly it's data or emails and stuff like that, obviously it's going to be like number of records. So if they lose, you know, 500 million records versus 5,000 records, those are is generally where you would see the higher costs with an event.
Or, you know, a mining company whose annual revenue largely depends on, you know, one or two mines whereby access to those mines is facilitated by very technologically complex hoist and rigging equipment and whatnot, and whereby if that rigging equipment is unavailable because somebody, you know, takes it over or even worse, you know, physically damages it, you're talking about losing years worth of revenue, and maybe that's catastrophic endgame scenario for that company.
I think
that's what needs to be understood.
I to your point, I think that's sort of a soft spot in my own logic in this, is that you talk about security and we joked about this last time we saw each other, that I sat on a panel at the cybersecurity conference in Chicago and I'm like, I don't know what the hell am I just telling you stories and you're just picking me apart like Swiss cheese and I'm the idiot and no one told me that I'm supposed to be the idiot, which I find out, you know, usually every time I get home, that I'm the idiot. But the thing is I think of tech companies only. I don't think of all of these other applications. And in fact, I would go one further for those who've watched, you know, 60 Minutes in the last, it was maybe 3 weeks ago. They talked about being held ransom as a town, literally taking over an entire town and going, yep, municipalities, police officers, EMS, not going to happen. Everything is just shut down. Your books, your finances, your bank. The town is literally blacked out, like it's done. And I just don't think of things like that, right? And I don't think a lot of people do. And that's sort of the thing that we need to start really honing in on here, is that, like, I don't care what business you're in. Let's use the mining explanation. Let's just say you're real old school. Like, you're not, you're like as low tech as it gets. Every vendor that you rely on isn't, though. And so if you don't understand what happens if X, whether it's your fault or somebody else's, you're deep shit. And someone's going to help you. And to your point, Scott, if you don't have coverage for that and you go dark for 2 or 3 months, what the business is over.
It's not just whether or not you have coverage or not. I mean, it's just, you know, understanding all the costs.
Yeah.
So like in that mining scenario.
Yeah, I didn't even mean that's like, that's retroactive. Yeah, right. Proactive is a whole other thing. We want to get to that.
Like in that mining example, they might be providing salt to municipalities up in the Northwest, right? And now they can't do that, and they have consequential revenue loss like clauses in there. So if they can't produce the salt, and they have all these things going on. But one thing that I like to try to talk to about our clients with is like, I want to prevent you from being, what was it, the P.F. Chang? I want to prevent you from being the P.F. Chang risk manager that on the day of the event that you weren't covered.
Great analogy,
right? So if the coverage isn't available, we want you to know that. So then you can make wise business decisions around what you're going to do.
Right.
Right. So when Scott recruited me, you know, he was talking to me about the cyber insurance, and I was he was a reformed insurance guy. I was a reformed, like, you know, tech head, and I'm like, cyber insurance, that's all bunk, right? And then he's like, no, it's a financial control. Just like you have your firewalls, a technical control, and your process is like an administrative control, cyber insurance is a financial control that augments all the other wonderful things that you're doing. And it starts to make sense when you look at it that way.
I totally agree. And I think you guys know better than I do in this. I don't know where we are in the roadmap to the impact of this. But my feeling is the more I hear people chirp about Bitcoin and blockchain and other data cloud native, da-da-da-da-da, sharing, inter-sharing, remote workers, whatever, smart home, car, I'm driving around a Tesla with an auto drive. Like, there's so many things that can go wrong here. I honestly think that the security, cybersecurity, it's got to be as big or bigger than just, like, cloud and data. Like the term cloud and data, we're like, we're big data. The next 25 years are cybersecurity, because we've built all this shit and we have no idea what's going to happen. We've not ever seen a real impact thing yet, or at least we haven't heard of it.
It's technology risk, right? And so many people also conflate cybersecurity with malicious actions and malicious actors, and clearly that's what's driven the awareness. And
that's good for sales and marketing, but that's not like the majority of the actual occurrences.
It's really all over the place, you know. But you know, any operation, like sometimes things just don't work.
Yeah. Was it Southwest? Wasn't it? Southwest Airlines.
Right.
They had like the misconfigured server.
Yeah. Misconfigured servers, you know, sometimes you plug things in and, you know, it causes, you know, chain reaction because it doesn't exactly comport with other technology that's in place that you didn't even, you know that was in place.
Well, it's like, not to go down the Facebook, wormhole, but like, say what you will, they've done some stupid shit that makes it malicious or not malicious. Okay. A lot of the early going stuff that happened with the data, they're not even breaches, the data leaks on Facebook were not that they were thinking, oh, we're just gonna, you know, we're weak and we don't care. They thought they were doing the right thing. It just went the wrong way.
Right.
And that's a situation that I don't think I have a customer. The customer says, hey, can you share this file? I said, yeah, of course I can share this file. What I didn't realize is the person who made the file left it completely unencrypted, or it's wide open, or there's some other thing in the file that I didn't know about because I didn't look at it.
Yeah.
And now I've just given away a ton of you know, whatever.
Yeah, there's two interesting things there. One is that, you know, we like to tout is like, if you're not paying for something, you are the product, right? So when you're using Facebook and Gmail and everything like that, you are the product, right? So
we just spent the last
people are all surprised that they're doing
Gmail
stuff with your data, right? But the other interesting thing is, did you watch the testimonials when he was before the questions they're asking?
I need
asking,
a sip of water. Hold on.
Right? The questions they're asking, I mean, so just imagine that's the top of our kind of political chain, right? So think about the top of the companies, the CEOs and CFOs, right? They probably have the same understanding for the most part if it's not a tech company.
Which is to say,
right? Like,
none.
I fling emails and it just magically happens, and they just don't understand that their entire operation, their entire billion-dollar company depends on these technologies that are all vulnerable, right? So I just don't think they understand.
I agree. I jokingly said this to the founder of Superhuman on my podcast, Raul Vora. He was like, you know, what we do is we create delight with our, if you're familiar with the Superhuman email app, we make email feel magical. And I was like, honestly, this has nothing to do with this conversation, but honestly, that's quite impressive because the people that you're marketing the app to are like really high technical. So if you can make me feel like email's magic, that's incredible. But like, look at the people who use Microsoft Office and think that's magic. Because like, and that's the majority of people we're talking about. The most of the people who are going to be your customer, they should be everybody, but it's not the guys and girls who are very savvy with the tech. It's the people who are like, it, like I said, should be everyone. But it's really the target is the people who like don't know what they're doing because they're the ones who leave puddles everywhere. So,
you know, it's in our world, and you know, we do a lot of business with the chief security officers of the world because, to Brennan's point from before, you know, the appeal for them and what we do is that ability to actually, you know, sit at the C-suite table and converse in that language and, you know, invalidate the C in front of their title. But you know, you think about CFOs and, you know, CEOs and the chairs of audit committees on boards, you know, to Brennan's point or what from before, like, you know, have a huge technological gap in terms of their understanding and ability to drive change, oftentimes, which results in misplaced priorities and misplaced focus because maybe all they know is regulations, right? And if you take like the healthcare industry, for example, just because of how things have evolved over the last 5 to 10 years or 15 years, you know, every pharma and healthcare CEO, I'm sure is really, really well attuned with their HIPAA obligations, right? Protection of patient information. So they spend all their time and effort and resources there because they don't want to be the ones that are whose name's in the paper if their company has a healthcare information breach and now they're getting fined, you know, a couple million bucks. So all the focus and effort is there. Meanwhile, they're operating pharma manufacturing facilities that are producing like disproportionately high quantities of some key blood testing compound or something like that, and this facility doesn't even have a firewall because the understanding isn't there as far as what risk really matters to the firm and what can go wrong.
So my kind of question as you wrap here a little bit is, for you guys, obviously it can depend on the company and on the way that they work and just everything as to like what kind of coverage necessarily would help them or would be the right way. If you were a company who's just trying to dip your toe in this and understand what their, I guess what's the best with that, their open holes are, where the gaps are.
Yeah.
What do you recommend those right now that are listening should be doing? Ideally, it finds their way in your office, but like what is it that they should start with? Where's the starting point?
Well, so and let's not jump to coverage because once again, that's just one piece.
Yeah, it's just identifying.
That's one piece of the puzzle, right? The way we'll often describe, you know, what we do is if you're spending your first dollar or your 15th dollar or your 500th dollar, where are you going to get the most return on that dollar spent? If you don't have a cybersecurity program, we'll spend that first dollar on understanding what your risk is. Who are you? How do you use technology as a result, or as a result of who you are and how you use technology? What could go wrong and what are those narratives and what might those narratives cost? Now you've got a business-centric picture of your risk, you know, based on those narratives and what could go wrong. Now prioritize according to what would be your worst day, you know, or a couple worst days. And beyond that, where am I going to get the most bang for my fourth dollar spent?
Yep.
Is it some type of a control? Because what I just described or a certain narrative, you know, the only reason it can happen is because I'm not doing something. Well, then do something. And if the spend of that dollar prohibits that event from happening, that's a far better spend on that dollar than looking at that same analysis and saying, I'm already doing all these things and I can do more, but maybe at this point, maybe just maybe, I'll get a greater return on that $500 spent by training my employees better or having my lawyers tweak some clauses and contracts, or, you know, because I'm doing everything else really well, buying that insurance that'll pay for that event if I still have it, despite the improbability of it happening.
Is there a better person to take this on than Scott? I mean, looking at this, I'm like, you have the insurance background, you've got the legal background to understand the significance of this. We talk about this all the time with founders and CEOs and folks on the show that some people, it could have been by plan if you're one of those weirdos from the get-go, was like, this is my life, and they chart it out. But the vast majority of people who accomplish really big things usually find their way there at the end, and that wasn't like the plan. It was just sort of like, I did this, I did that, and then when I got about out of it, I was like, oh, this plus that equals this. And then, because I see that here, where you're able to see the picture from both sides of the equation, which is the differentiator. A lot of times working with these clients and companies, it's like, I know insurance or I know legal.
No, well, that's us. That's Axio. You know, I'm one piece of the puzzle. Brendan's another key piece of the puzzle. We've got all sorts of different folks who bring these different disciplines to bear that can allow us very uniquely to sit in front of a CEO and say, is your next dollar better spent on a protective control or some type of technological application that Brendan knows like the back of his hand? Or if you're already doing really, really well over there, you know, is your next dollar better spent on an insurance contract?
Sometimes it's even simpler than that. We had one client that they had some kind of large pipeline, and there was a guy named Frank that sat in a shack, and every time they called Frank on the radio, he'd run out there and turn off a valve. Well, they replaced Frank because he cost $75,000 a year, and we went in there and we cooked up a scenario that affected the pipeline. It was, like $800 million, something like that. And, like, they said, stop the meeting, and they, like, go call Frank. He got a raise. And they just put them back. So they like that $800 million of risk that they could potentially have because the whole pipeline relied on that one computer. They were able to just eliminate that risk by just bringing this human person back to kind of man the controls.
So for consecutive shows, I just want to say that Frank was the choice. Yeah. Every company's got a Frank. Some companies have multiple Franks.
I didn't want to pick on Bob, right?
Well, yeah. everyone does the Bobs. We got the Scots.
We could have used Chad, though, right?
We could always use Chad.
Yeah.
But I'm no joke, the show before this and the show after this, I was like, oh, yeah, meeting with the Franks. Everyone's got a
ginger guy named Chad, right?
We're going Chad.
That's very true. Yeah. Oh, poor Chad. He's sitting in the other room and he can't even defend himself. We love Chad. Chad made this conversation take place. Where do you feel like is the best starting point for a company to reach out to you? Obviously, you talk about what they should be looking for and how they should be looking at themselves. But when they reach out to work with you guys, what does that look like?
So you can send me an email at brendan@axio.com.
That's the fastest route.
That's probably the fastest way. Well, you can hit our website, axio.com, to just kind of get a lay of the land and to kind of understand our approach, right? So Scott touched on earlier, just trying to help companies understand what their unique risk is, because even two companies in the same sector could be different. We can help you figure out whether or not you're well prepared to meet that risk, and then, you know, find out if you have the financial wherewithal to kind of survive if you were to have one of those bad days, right?
My guess is most of them will find that they do not have the financial wherewithal to survive.
Well, these days,
the way I would describe most people, and this is not just true of Axio clients at the beginning, but really kind of everybody in the world, what we find is that, you know, even large enterprises, they're spending a lot of money, but oftentimes they're spending it on the wrong things.
Totally agree.
Right? It's really, you know, portfolio optimization, but for cybersecurity. You know, are you spending most effectively on the things that matter? And regardless of whether you're, you know, perceived to be in a mature state because you've already done a lot of things, well, I'm sure that you're not spending money most effectively, or you're just starting from scratch. I mean, our solutions and our software scales from top to bottom from a company in complexity state.
This is a conversation that I think is, like I said, tip of the iceberg. There's going to be so much more of this stuff. And another little podcast shout out. We had Darren Guccione from Keeper Security, who I'm sure you guys are familiar with, on the podcast. You can just follow TechnoRant on Spotify and check out that podcast. But we really dug into the nitty gritty on like single sign on and just the lack of general awareness and management that companies have over all their millions of employees that travel the world and use Starbucks and wherever else. And like, I could literally go in and rip your Facebook profile and your passwords right now while we're sharing Starbucks network for free. And I think people don't quite realize it. And I think a good educational tool for most business owners is to just go to the absolute basic frontline level of like, what is the most obvious thing? If you're a dummy when it comes to high tech security, what is the most simple thing you can figure out and be like, oh, are we covered there? Because if you're not covered there, you are definitely not covered anywhere else. And I think that's an important thing for people to recognize. So I appreciate you guys coming in and taking the time and sharing the story and the journey and the opportunity for all the companies out here.
Thanks for having us. We really appreciate it.
Of course, anytime. I hope I have you guys back very soon. To invest in featured startups or apply to pitch on the Startup Showcase live on WGN Radio on Saturdays, go to technoroy.com. Boom, that's a wrap.